Okay.
That was 4, 5, 6.
Yes, that was.
3, 9, 6, 7.
Yeah.
1, 2, 1, 7, 2, 5, 8.
And is this him as well?
Yeah.
Which bit's this?
Residence.
His home? Yeah, I mean, if these numbers are out there, they've probably had like a million calls, huh?
No, not necessarily, but obviously Yemen has had a few changes recently.
Hello?
Hello, is this Miss Harrison?
Speaking.
Hi, Miss Harrison, this is Chad Thornberry from the State Department Operations Center. We spoke yesterday.
Oh, yes, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Ms. Harrison, if Mr. Assange is available, I have one of the Secretary's lawyers on the line who has been asked to return the call on the Department of State's behalf.
Okay, could I take his name, please?
His name is Cliff Johnson.
Cliff Johnson, and he's a lawyer for the Secretary of State, did you say?
Yeah, he's one of the lawyers here at the Department of State.
Okay. One moment, please.
G'day, Cliff.
Hello, Mr. Assange.
Yes.
This is Chad Thornberry from the Operations Center. I'm going to bring Mr. Johnson to the line now, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Introducing Mr. Cliff Johnson to the call.
Mr. Assange, hello, it's Cliff Johnson.
G'day, Cliff. Thank you for calling back.
Certainly.
Have you been briefed?
I believe so. We had understood that that you and perhaps Sarah had been trying to reach out both to the department and that there had been some calls put into Embassy London, and I've been asked to get back to you with respect to those calls.
Yes, so the situation is that we have intelligence that the state... Department database archive of 250,000 diplomatic cables, including the classified cables, is being spread around and is to the degree that we believe that within the next few days it will become public, and we're not sure what the timing could be, imminently or within the next few days to a week. And there may be some possibility to stop it.
And are these, and who would be releasing these cables? Is this WikiLeaks?
No, we would not be releasing them. We are doing our usual thing of continuing on with our redaction plan, but we have in the past 24 hours released some 100,000 unclassified cables as an attempt to head off the incentives for others to release the entire archive. But I believe that nonetheless, although we may have delayed things a little by doing that, they will do so unless attempts are made to stop them. We have already engaged in some legal attempts to get them to stop, but I think that it will not be enough.
Mr. Assange, who is this other? Who are these other people?
Well, this is Daniel Dumscheit-Berg, a previous employee that we suspended last August.
And so he apparently has access to the material that WikiLeaks also has?
Yes, that's correct.
And he has access to everything that you have, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, and that includes classified as well as the unclassified cables?
That's correct.
So your organization, the recent release of the 100,000 or so cables that I think were unclassified, that was something that that you guys had done, but what you're indicating now is that a broader group of classified ones might be released by this other entity.
Yes, it was. I mean, in part, we have had a program to go through the cables and release them as we can and as the journalism has done. But so part of that is a natural progression in our release schedule. But we have moved forward the unclassified release schedule very significantly in order to deal with this situation where there is a high demand for the cables, and there is an individual who is spreading them around, and the particular manner in which they're being spread means that a greatly increased number of people are receiving access to them, and we believe that it's only moments to days until the information is made public, which would permit everyone to have access to them. And there are some key details. There are sort of two key pieces of information which, if combined together, are enough to give people, anyone, access to the material. So an encryption key and another piece of information. And this is what has been spread around. And that is why the situation is so delicate, because it is extremely easy to spread that information. And we have already received it back from at least two newspapers, relatively minor newspapers, one in Germany and one in Denmark.
Does anybody else besides this group also have access to that same material, or at this stage is it just them?
At this stage we're only aware of, other than this group, newspapers having access to it. Although, of course, one might have certain suspicions based on based upon the demand. But at this stage, one could speculate on intelligence activity, but I will not do that. But as far as things that are not matters of speculation, we only know of this individual attempting to spread the information around.
And how did that individual get access to it?
For legal reasons, I don't want to go into specifics, but they were an employee of WikiLeaks last year, and we suspended them in August last year, and they took a variety of materials and funds with them. They were a rogue, if you like, from our perspective.
I see. And in terms of what they took, does that mean that they now have the ability themselves, without your control or authorization, to make this as available as they want? Is this now entirely
in their control? That's correct. They have been doing that for some time. However, the in order to sort of gain benefit with various media organizations they wish to collaborate with, And that hasn't been such a concern or concern to us previously, but the manner in which it has been done now, we believe will lead to the imminent release within within the week and possibly within the hour to the general public. And at the moment, presently, within the I suppose a sort of not quite public, but within a rather wide journalism or other groups, so activist groups in general.
In other words, so your sense is that they're now trying to reach out to these other media or activist groups themselves to coordinate some sort of release, or?
I wouldn't say it's coordinating release, rather it is spreading information
to spread it.
In such a form. The motivation is to embarrass us, and destroy our exclusivity as severely as possible. So the best way to do that is to make the information completely public and en masse, as opposed to in an ordered way. And that is what has been done.
And have you made any efforts to try to stop them, or are you?
Yes, we have written legal demands to them through our German lawyers, and to ask the one of the publications, Freitag, in Germany, who was given them through this manner, to not publicly reveal the key information that would permit them to spread. Those publications have been swapping the key information over unencrypted email, which they sent to us in sort of researching the story. And they've made that a story, and also in Denmark has been printed. And I would suspect that within the next 24 hours, Reuters or a similar newswire will also, if not directly mention the details, we mention the factual side. What we want the State Department to do is to step up its warning procedures, which it was engaged in earlier in the year and late last year, to State Department sources that are mentioned in the cables. I assume, but I am not sure, that all of those individuals that the State Department thinks might be at risk in despotic regimes have been contacted, and certainly they've had, because of the press, significant warning that this sort of thing was coming. But in case there are any any individuals who haven't been warned, that they should be warned. And insofar as the State Department can impress upon people within Germany to encourage them to desist that behaviour, that would be helpful.
And my understanding is that the legal actions you've initiated have been in Germany. You don't have any lawyers in the U.S., or there's nothing legal happening on the U.S. side, is that right?
In the U.S. side, there is no point, because the individual concerned is in Germany. As far as the law is concerned, we do not have standing to initiate such action, because the material does not belong to us. And neither would we be one of its, neither could we say that we were directly harmed by its release. We could only say that we would be reputationally, indirectly harmed. So it is very difficult for us to take legal action in court. We have issued demands to the individual concerned legally, but we do not have legal ability, we do not have standing to initiate a legal action itself.
Okay. And do you have direct contact with that individual, or you're learning about this from the media circling back to you?
We're learning about this from the media circling back to us from Germany and Denmark, contacting us from what they have said publicly on publication yesterday. And we have learnt about it from our own sources, where this individual has been giving, spreading this information to them and to others, and has been inviting over 111 people in Germany to, on a mailing list, to contact him to receive those details.
And by the detail, this is, am I right that this is the encryption keys that would permit them?
That's correct.
Sort of, and it would permit access to the complete unredacted forms of the materials?
That's correct.
I see.
So the material, there is an encrypted version of the materials on the internet somewhere that we do not control. Probably in a number of places, rather, to make sure they don't disappear, which is fine because the encryption is strong. But if the encryption key is the encryption key and the location of the material are the only two things that need to be disclosed, and so that is information that could spread extremely quickly. One doesn't actually need to convey the material itself. One only needs to convey the location of the material and its encryption key.
And you believe that this other group is motivated not just to establish some kind of relationship with the media and go about sort of a release of the cables, but that they're also interested in more broadly making the key available on the web as a whole that would then give presumably access to anybody?
That's correct. We can see by their actions, they are inviting many people, including people not from the media, to approach them to get the key. And that the level of people is now such that we believe it will very quickly spread outside the media. It has already spread to media such as a computer journal in Denmark. So it is already spread outside investigative journalists.
But so it sounds like now that you've lost control of this material, that there's very little either you or anybody else can do to stop it, I guess, unless you're successful in the legal proceedings in Germany?
I think it is only, we may be able to slow it down a little. I do not think it is possible to stop. I think it may be possible to slow it down. The number of people who have apparently been given access by this individual in Germany that we suspended last year now, I think, is at a critical mass. But perhaps it can be slowed down a little bit, and during that time, anyone who needs to be informed, any say human rights workers who haven't already been informed, who were in contact with U.S. embassies, could be informed.
I will certainly pass that message. I mean, obviously, if we're talking about a release, which you indicated could be happening in an uncontrolled way within 24 hours, I mean, there's real limitations on the ability to do steps beyond what's been done. And
yes, I can see that. I don't know that we'll be 24 hours. We have been trying to suck the oxygen out of the market demand by releasing all the unclassified cables, and that is distracting a little bit from market demand. But my strong suspicion is that once that distraction disappears, which will be within the next few days, the market demand will, just like any demand for an interesting rumor, will cause that information to spread, just like interesting rumors do spread.
What do you think the motivation, I mean, with this individual having previously been part of your organization, what do you think their motivation is at this stage, and how does that differ from WikiLeaks' own motivations in these releases?
Their motivation appears to be competitive to us. So because the information has news value to us, they have started a competing organization, although it hasn't published anything yet. But so their motivation is to compromise our reputation as much as possible.
But I guess from the State Department's perspective, it sounds like what we're dealing with is another WikiLeaks in a sense. I mean, that there's
they won't be actually publishing it, you see. So it's not like they're standing up and saying we believe in what we're doing and it has value to the historical record and value to potential political reform. They are doing it under the surface. And there's no attempted redaction program and no attempted harm minimization.
I'm not at all a computer or an encryption expert, but am I right that this encryption key issue, it has two parts, and that they have both of them, or it's a single key?
There is the location of the file on the internet, or rather the locations. There are several locations, and the key, which decrypts the file. One needs both of these pieces of information. The key has been disclosed in violation of our agreements by a mainstream media organization, which I won't disclose to the public. But I won't mention other details because it'll enable anyone listening to the call to understand how to get it. But the public doesn't know that key is meaningful. So all one needs to do, the information that has been spread is the meaning of that disclosure together with, by that mainstream media organization, together with the location of the file.
I see. So the key is out there, but it was out there before in a way that people might not know was the key, and now what has been disclosed.
Yes, so they definitely would not know was the key to a particular file that exists presently.
Isn't this something that you can change, where you can change the key or the location of the files?
No, because the files we do not control. There are not so many. There are perhaps five locations, although we haven't researched all of them. But we do not control these encrypted files. Other people have placed them there as sort of backups, as to prevent censorship, without knowing that this particular file is included in the collections.
But these different locations where the files were, weren't those ones that WikiLeaks had placed earlier? Although you retained the key. key, but now what has changed is that...
No, the key, we had some others that were used to prevent censorship of our upcoming publications.
And you still retain control over those?
And we don't retain control over the files, but we retain control over the key. So that is not a problem for those, and they are working the way that they are meant to. That is that the encrypted information is very widely distributed, but uses top secret ciphers and a key that is that is retained by us and not known to others. So they're all right. It's just this one particular file.
Okay. And these, I guess you had mentioned that there were these new five locations. Those locations were recently created, or is this something that has been out there for a while?
I'm not sure how these came to be. They appear to have been out there for a few months. They weren't there last year, but they contain collections of a number of files that we have released, maybe several, many thousands of files that we have released, and this file is one that is included in those several thousands of files. So unless you know about to look for which particular collection and which particular file, then the information is hidden. But if you know the precise file location and you know the key, then that is enough. And that is the information that is being deliberately spread.
Doesn't it... I mean, I guess I'm just trying to think, perhaps as you are, in terms of what their next steps or motivations might be. But why would it be in their interest to make all of this available worldwide to everybody if part of what they're trying to do is position themselves as an organization that is has control of the material?
Because they understand that we and others already have that material, and that it is a reputational asset for us to gradually roll it out in a safe way. And we are the organization that is most strongly associated reputationally with material. So if the current attack that is being used is to say that that we cannot keep control of our own materials, and therefore we are an insecure organization, and therefore sources cannot give us material. And so the best way to demonstrate that is this current approach, which is to hand over the material to various organizations and spread these two pieces of information. And when the material all becomes public, that will permit the attack, the reputational attack, to say that that we have put people in harm by permitting such information to become public in unredacted form to the public.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I understand. And I.
So
I
without that information spreading, it was, at least from us, it was secure. There are certain views about what some of the handling procedures of some of the mainstream media organizations has been in violation of our agreement that they not store it on an internet connected computer. The Guardian, for instance. But we don't have any proof that information has been smuggled out by third parties from those media organizations. But in this particular case, we can see it going that invitations have been made to collect the key and the location from this individual, and it is being rapidly spread to very minor media players, together with this particular story. So it is not just to give them the information, it is also to give them the statement that we are an insecure, harmful organization, as proven by the information this individual is conveying to them. So it is actually rather a sophisticated spin. But because we've been seeing this developing behind the scenes for about a month now, we can see what it's motivated by.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts on that, and I also appreciate that whether you've recognized that these kinds of releases absolutely can pose a threat and concern to the various sources reflected in the material. And I mean, without belaboring the point, I think you know from the statements that our government has made the grave concerns we've had with this kind of dissemination and the potential for it, and the fact that this material has now spread farther, obviously, and I mean, I share your concern here, just exacerbates the concerns that we had originally. Yep. with the danger that it can pose. Is there other material that WikiLeaks has that these groups do not have, or that you similarly could be compromised?
There are some possibilities, but I would have to think carefully about that. At the moment, I'm only dealing with this particular issue.
Okay. Because I think, I mean, particularly in light of this latest chapter, I think that's worth, it's just worth considering because...
We have undergone a lot of internal changes as a result of this insider last August. But I have to say, from our perspective, a lot of this happened as a result of the overbearing pressure by the United States. If the United States had, and the State Department had responded to our overtures to meet and discuss the matter, and not made such threatening statements that put the safety of the individuals, our employees, at risk, we would have been able to manage the internal dynamics a lot better. And so this is an example of when you push people into a corner, they stop behaving in a step-by-step methodical manner because of the threats that they are under. So if it hadn't been for those sort of threats, the internal stability of our organization would have been more coherent, and we wouldn't have had to suspend this individual.
Well, I don't know how productive it is to go back to that stage, but truly you can understand that when the department is confronted with a situation where very sensitive national security material is being compromised at risk and at threat to national interests as well as individuals, that it would be understandable that we would react to that and take...
I understand, of course, of the pressures, but, we had a publication schedule that was not going to be until January, and everything would be much more ordered, and the newspapers, as a result of the pressure that they were feeling, decided to rush that forward against our wishes, to November 4, and then we had to threaten to take legal action to extend it to November 29. So, I mean, just for your own information and for how the State Department perhaps might handle such a similar situation in future, that if you can't actually stop someone from publication, if you threaten them legally, although it's not only the State Department who's at fault here, the Pentagon made a 40-minute press conference threatening the organization and me personally with various measures. The result is that people feel that they must publish or perish, and they must act extremely quickly within the threats that are made towards them. So,
but Mr. Assange, does this suggest that your efforts in Germany to pursue litigation and pressure against this group will result in their doing exactly what you just laid out and accelerating the release and doing it in this uncontrolled way?
I don't think so, because their motivations are different. Their motivations are to keep their own reputation and to damage us. Their motivations are, as far as I can determine, and other people who are involved can determine, are not higher than that. We have been involved in an 11-month negotiation with them through a mediator and through lawyers. So it is not like that we've rushed into pushing them to do something. Actually, this has been 11 months of negotiation.
And with a mediator, is that a kind of process where if the mediator decides a certain way, they would be bound to proceeding accordingly, or do you feel that that process has run its course? And
the mediator pulled out about 2 weeks ago because of the number of lies that were being made by this individual, so that they said that they would return the information, and made many promises, and it was eventually viewed by the mediator that the mediation was impossible under those circumstances, so they pulled out.
From your knowledge of this individual, do you see any path for persuading them not to proceed as they seem intended to proceed, or?
Well, they're proceeding under the surface, so you know that they have a cover for what they are doing. It's not that they are proud of what they are doing. They are not admitting that they are spreading information in this way, but nonetheless, we know, it is abundantly apparent to anyone who reads the even the public newspaper stories by information.dk and Freitag in Berlin, and from the last information from the mediator. So I'm not certain that it is impossible to stop them from the path that they're conducting. They engage in the path that they are going down because they believe it to be efficient to meeting their desires, rather than it being an ideological committed goal.
During the course of this long mediation, what was it that you thought they were seeking from you that might have stop this process? I mean, was there some effort during the presumably there was some effort during the course of that mediation for you to get back control of the material? Was there indications that they were prepared to do that, or that there was something that they were seeking in order to do that?
The only leverage we had in the mediation was that they had made a previous public statement that they would return all the material. And so it was only a reputational issue that permitted the mediation to occur. That is, that they faced a potential reputational loss by not returning the material, and possibly we also started an initial legal process, and then back in February, and stopped that to conduct the mediation. So there was a reputational motivation and a motivation to stave off court action.
And they have a legal entity in Germany that could be that is the subject of your legal efforts, or is it really?
No, it is. They do not have a legal entity. It is just an individual, though they say that they intend to form a legal entity.
I see. Are there any other individuals or groups that we should also be concerned about that either may now have or may in the future have access to this information? And I realize that all of that is to some degree moot if this broad release happens that you've alerted us to.
There are individuals who have been transferring on the information, but they, for instance, The Guardian has done so to gave all the cables to Heretz in Germany, in Israel. But these are moves that are done by individuals within those newspaper institutions as a competitive play to other newspapers where they have arrangements. For example, The Guardian gave them, against our agreement, to The New York Times in violation of our written contract. And to a number of other groups. But as far as we are aware, we don't know, it is hard to be aware of other groups, but as far as we are aware, they are giving them to other news organizations as a competitive maneuver in relation to us.
Mr. Assange, is there anything else at this stage that you think it would be useful for us?
Well, there are two key details. I would like to convey in person, not over an unencrypted connection.
I'm sorry, I don't follow.
So there are the two key pieces of information which are necessary, the location and the information about the passphrase. And these I obviously cannot convey over a insecure connection.
Right, but you would be prepared to provide those to us?
I would be prepared to encourage someone to provide you that information.
And how would that play out? I mean, what would the next step be?
There is some possibility. There are two possibilities. One is to encourage the individual in Germany to desist in their activities. Because they are concerned about the reputational risk, if they are told that it may, if they continue their activities, it may lead to people coming to harm, then that is a possible leverage to get them to stop. Although we have tried, we have made those statements. It may be viewed as more serious if it comes from the US or a human rights organization or from the German government. And
yeah, although I guess early in our discussion you'd seem to suggest that given their motivation, they wouldn't care about that kind of concern.
They care about reputational risk. So they're not going to care about that, clearly by the behavior, but they may care about reputational risk. I mean, they know about it because we've informed them about it and we've made it a demand through our lawyers for them to stop doing it, but they may care about the reputational risk. So if it becomes public that they were asked to desist, they may desist. If there is another possibility, which is the taking down of those files, that is a degree of research and effort that we do not have the capacity to do. It is. There are not so many of them.
And you know all the locations of them, you think?
We know several, and it's probably not that hard to find the others. They are not viewed by the public as important files. There are some important encrypted files that we have released, which there are some 100,000 different people have copies of them. But the keys to those are well secured.
Can you provide us with that location information?
I can encourage other people to do so.
Okay. I mean, in terms of your suggestion that that we make clear the harm that could follow from the release of such information, I mean, as you know, Mr. Assange, we had in our public statements similarly tried to dissuade WikiLeaks from doing its releases on the same ground, and I don't know why we would fare any better with.
I don't suggest that it is as a result of those public statements, but we released cables slowly to media partners and read through every single cable and redacted source identities accordingly. So the difference is between that scenario of journalists and human rights activists reading cables, redacting them and putting them out through us, which is what has been happening, and all of them, all 250,000, including all the classified cables, going out without any redaction at all. So there is quite a degree of difference between these two scenarios. Yes, we were not influenced to do more than what we had planned to do, but I think of course, there are always compromises to making this sort of thing, but our, at least as far as our publication was concerned, that although it might have been politically annoying, we acted as other media organizations acted. In fact, it was mainstream media organizations that were redacting our cables for us and then feeding them back through our redaction system.
If we were, I mean, if just speculating, if we were able to influence these other groups or this other group from making a release, or if your litigation efforts succeeded in that, what could we expect of WikiLeaks? Would you continue to proceed with the releases of this exact same information?
We would continue to proceed in the way that we have been proceeding, which is in an orderly fashion, reading the classified cables one by one and redacting source identities where necessary.
I see. So the difference in the two scenarios is is your sense that this other group would not have any interest in redactions or any other more, I don't know how to describe it, sort of a more planned release?
That's correct, because they are not releasing the information for either a high ideological purpose or for their reputation. So they're not seeking to grow their reputation as a news organization by producing newsworthy information. Rather, they are seeking to secretly release this information to others in order to damage our reputation. So it is quite a different motivation, and it means it is not possible to dissuade them reputationally from engaging in the course of conduct that they are engaging in, because they are doing it under the surface.
Right. But I guess in terms of the redaction, even though we have seen some of the releases that have been coming through the media reflecting some redactions of particular individuals' names or sensitivities or source sensitivities, as I think you can understand, we have not seen, and nor do we have a sense that there's any redactions of the actual classified material in the cables as well. So I guess I do appreciate that there's a distinction in terms of some of the redactions, but overall, even the WikiLeaks releases that you've done and that you would intend to do would still involve the release of material that was classified.
Well, our redactions are done by our media partners, so they are our material is given to those media partners, and then they feed back the redactions that they feel are appropriate, that is within their expertise for that particular region.
And then you make a final decision as to what's released or not?
No, we do not make that decision. That is a process that is conducted purely by the media partners.
In terms of, and I realize it's late there, Mr. Assange, and I appreciate that you've been willing to talk at this length. In terms of the litigation in Germany, do you have an assessment from your own lawyers as to how likely that is to succeed or not succeed? And are there any
other legal... Well, the current assessment is that we do not have standing. So we have made certain demands. But we do not have standing to take a court action, because the information does not belong to any party, and we would have to be one of the US informants, say, that are mentioned in the material, to have a standing with the court to take such an action.
And Germany is the only country...
We perhaps could sue for... We could perhaps sue in London for the breach of confidence and the reputational loss that would come from it. But that, of course, won't have any effect in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Sandrelli, you'd mentioned that there were two items that you were interested in providing us, but wanted to do so in person or directly.
That's correct.
I just wanted to make sure that I had a clear understanding of that. What were those? One of them the location of the files and the encryption key?
I wouldn't venture to say that I would provide you that information, but I would encourage others to give you that information.
Okay. And are those the two items, or is that the...
Those are the two items, the encryption key and the location.
Okay. Well, we're certainly prepared to receive those. But I guess I'm in your hands in terms of the process for that, or it sounds as if you might take steps through some intermediary to do something on that. But if there's...
Well, the process would be that because I am under house arrest, you would have to send someone out here to Norfolk and then a contact would give you that information.
Okay, but so if we were to
we have been trying to get the U.S. ambassador out here for 24 hours now. Over 24 hours.
Yeah, and they have been coordinating with us, which is why I wanted to be in a position to return this call on behalf of both the embassy and the department, so we could also, centralize some of the communication. But if we were to arrange for somebody from the embassy to come out to you, then that would be a way that would be the mechanism for you to provide us with this information. Is that right?
So that would be the mechanism by which you would be provided with the information.
Okay. And then to set that up, what should we do? Should we reach back out to...
You should call this number and make an appointment.
Okay. And how soon, if we were to arrange this early next week, that would be...
I would suggest immediately, but...
So we could do it this weekend as well.
Our view is that it's more your problem than it is ours, but we have been calling the State Department and the embassy for over a day trying to explain the urgency, and they have not called back other than this call.
But again, even if we have, and once we have this material, it's not clear to me how that would prevent any of these releases that you are anticipating.
Which particular ones? So
by this other group.
The particular manner, the sort of the approach that they are taking to spreading information is to just give this password and location, and thereby they are able to give the appearance that they are not spreading the information itself. Do you understand?
Well, I think so. You're suggesting that they're...
They have developed a sophisticated cover for their activity, which is to spread the password and the location, but not actually directly convey the data itself, even though the effect is precisely the same, which is to convey the data. And so if the... either if they are impressed upon to cease that activity, or the file is removed from the internet, then they will not be able to engage in that activity. Of course, they may still spread this file in another manner, but they believe it has greater evidential weight if they spread it in another manner. And so I believe that they will not do that, or at least they will take a lot longer to do that.
Right. But if in some manner or for some reason they're prevented from spreading it in this current manner that involves these five locations,
yeah.
It sounds as if your sense is that they would still have the capability to release this information in another way.
Yes, that's correct. But I don't believe that they would necessarily do so for some time. Perhaps something else can be negotiated, or perhaps other motivations may come into play. So it is
okay.
at the moment they have a very easy option, which is they can make it look like they are not spreading the material, yet in fact spread the material to those that they wish to curry favor with and build alliances with. At the same time, also make a reputational attack on this organization, and do so by looking like it is not, like they have not deliberately engaged in a course of action to provide all the material to the public. But because all that is needed is this location and password, and they are spreading it to people, they know that fairly soon that information can simply be sent over an email or over a single tweet. And once it is done so, it will be in a million people's hands within a few hours. So this is really the key difference: information that can spread to several million people within a few hours, or information that is very, very large and where your involvement in transmitting it is clear.
So is the idea that by having this information and spreading it, they could basically provide people access to stuff that was under the WikiLeaks umbrella, but they would in fact be providing, in a sense, they would be unlocking your own material? Is that what it is?
They would be making available all these State Department cables. They'd be providing the access codes to all these State Department cables, all 250,000.
The access would be provided through the WikiLeaks website, or through these
through these other files that are held by people. We don't know who they are, but they are publicly available.
Well, I'll report back to folks, and we will.
The people who have them, who have made them publicly available, as far as I can determine, do not know what they have.
Okay.
So they appear to just be people who have a collection of various information that is related to us.
How could they not know what they have?
Because the collection is extremely large.
Uh-huh.
And this is just one hidden file amongst a very large collection.
I see. So to be able to use it, they would need to know where to get it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this is the information that has been spread by this individual.
Well, we will loop back to you to make to make an appointment to visit. Is there anything else that would be useful for me to know at this time?
An article has appeared in Freetag and also in, that's F-R-I-E-T-A-G, sorry, F-R-E-I-T-A-G, of Berlin, provided by that individual who works with, is trying to set up a business relationship with Freetag. The information in it is not strictly accurate, because he is trying to use the connection with Freetag to make an attack against us. But it will give you a sort of hint at the game that's being played. And also information.dk has an article in Danish, also provided by the source of which is also this individual, Daniel Damscheit-Berg. It's the same attack in both cases, and there's a pre-existing connection between this individual and those two papers. But it is. I knew that Freetag, for instance, was going to publish, and I spoke to the publisher before the publication, and impressed upon him that he should obscure as many details as possible in the publication. Unfortunately, while there are some that are obscured, nonetheless, there may be people who will put two and two together from this. And certainly if these reports continue, it will create a tremendous demand to know what it is, what this password is, and what the location is. And that tremendous demand will be satisfied by this individual, because he is clearly the source of the information and has asked that other people contact him.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
So the leverage on him is that there is a reputational pressure that can be applied to him, that he is doing all this behind the scenes and thinks that if it all becomes public, it will only be to his benefit, because it will be to our loss. And so that is why he's spreading the information. But if he feels that, in fact, it would work against him reputationally, he will stop doing that so publicly. And there is the other possibility of tracking down who is supplying these files and asking them to stop.
Okay.
People do not think these files are particularly interesting. Once it is understood their significance, of course, they will spread. And they will be impossible to get rid of.
Right. I appreciate what you've told us, Mr. Assange. I mean, as I mentioned before, I guess you can probably imagine from our perspective that the notion of one entity putting out classified U.S. government material versus another entity doing it, it's certainly, either way, it's something that, to our mind, continues to pose equal harm to us. But
we heard these statements from the Pentagon that they're not concerned about harm minimization. But I would suggest that is a rather disturbing attitude to. If it is the case that the State Department has contacted the relevant players and forewarned them already, and I know a lot of that activity has occurred, and it is my strong suspicion that it nearly, or rather I think it is probable that nearly all people mentioned who need to be informed, have been informed, either directly by the State Department or indirectly through the news media, then that is, I suppose that is fine, and the chance of harm to those sources of the State Department is minimal. On the other hand, I'm not sure that I am. On the other hand, the State Department has made statements countering to that effect, although a significant time ago.
No, I guess my point is really the opposite one, which is that that we face a great harm, however the material is released, whether by you or by them. It's not that we're indifferent to another organization also releasing it. It's more the minute anybody other than our government has access to our material, and it creates the risk, the inherent risk, that it will leave somebody's control, and then it will spread regardless of what individuals' motivations are. And I also don't want to leave you with a sense that when you're talking about this volume of material, that even with the best efforts of the United States government, that we are able to protect all or even a significant amount of sourced equities in them. So, you know, you're certainly right that that's something that has been a major concern, and that efforts have been made where they can be made, but they are by no means, we do not have the ability to completely protect our interest just on the source issue. And as I mentioned, our concerns with this kind of material goes well beyond that. There's certainly a primary concern with lives and individuals whose well-being can be threatened, but there's also national security material throughout the classified cables that that also causes us harm. I mean, you know, you've heard those statements before. I expect you appreciate them, even if whether you agree with them or not. But I do want to say that I appreciate the time you've taken to talk about this latest step in this.
Well, I understand you need to make that statement for legal reasons, and you understand that I need to make the following statement also, that we do not believe that in the material that we, through our partners, have released, that is the case. And we continue to make sure that there is no harm to the interests of the United States, and rather the news benefit to the American people and to others is paramount in everything that we do. And that is partly why you have received this call, and we are saying, as we said last year, that if you have genuine concerns, that we ask that you act on them. And last year, we asked that you provide us or assist us to find out which information would be harmful to release. And now we are asking that you take measures to reduce any possible harm, including by contacting those people who might be at harm, and to assisting the steps that we have taken to prevent unredacted release of the material.
I hear you, and I won't repeat what I said before, because I'm confident you heard that too.
Yep.
So, if there's nothing else that's useful to discuss further at this stage, if it made sense to you, the way I would leave it is that we will follow up with you, probably through our embassy, but I'll just need to discuss that further.